But today, I'm here to talk about modeling plate discipline from the Korean baseball organization to Major League Baseball. And to do this, I'm really going to look at the problem through the lens of Kim Ha-sung and Na Sung-bum, the two KBO players who were posted in the 2020 offseason. And before I get into the meat of this presentation, I do have a little disclaimer to add. Na did not sign a contract with an MLB team for reasons that may be discussed in this presentation, while Kim signed a four-year deal with the Padres. And before I start talking about this, I'm going to be interning with the Padres this summer as a baseball research and development intern. And I would like to stress that the data and work that I present over the next hour is all mine. And this analysis was submitted before I took a position with the Padres. And what I talk about does not represent their process with Kim Ha-sung. Okay. And so with that out of the way, like so many of you back in, about a year ago at this point, when COVID really shut down the sports world, there weren't sports on TV. And when the spring semester ended, I was sort of sitting around looking for something to do. And what I really wanted to do was watch baseball and start practicing evaluating players. And the KBO was what was on. And so I basically sat down and started charting KBO games, taking down what pitch was thrown. Where was it thrown? What was the result? Was it a swing? Was it a miss? Was it a ground ball? And over the KBO season, I ended up amassing about 30,000 pitches that I watched. I think the final usable number was 29,941. And essentially, that's the data that I'm going to be using today, and which allows us to look at things like swing rate and strike and contact rate for KBO hitters. And with that data, I'm going to look at how using a model trained on Major League Baseball data, how can we project plate discipline, like walk rate, strikeout rate, and the resulting walk to strikeout ratio for hitters who are coming over from the KBO. And before we get to that question, I think it's important that we understand the context of the KBO and what we're talking about. And so what we're looking at here is wOBA weights for a comparison between Major League Baseball and the KBO. All of this is from FanGraphs, and I basically worked backwards from their wOBA values for the season to figure out what these weights were. And the main takeaway from this graph is on the bottom here that walks, hit by pitches, and singles are consistently worth more in the KBO than they are in Major League Baseball. And that means that they have more of an incentive to get on base. And so walk rates are higher. And this is another slide sort of indicating that same sort of idea. Looking at charted KBO averages, except for walk rate and strikeout rate, those were from FanGraphs again, and comparing that versus the Major League Baseball average to see if they were statistically significantly different. And what I found was that walk rates are higher in the KBO. Strikeout rates and whiff rates are lower. Ground ball rates are higher. But interestingly, swing rates, how often hitters swing, is not different between the two leagues. And that was a little bit interesting to me. I always had the impression, even after watching 30,000 pitches, not games, that KBO hitters swung less, but obviously that's not the case. But even within the KBO, there's a fairly significant amount of variation from player to player, naturally. And especially with the hitters that I'm sort of viewing this problem through, Kim Ha-sung and Na Sung-bum. And here is a slide that really just sort of illustrates that difference. Kim Ha-sung walks more than he strikes out. Patient hitter, swings come over the heart of the zone, which is represented by this plot. This plot I put together using a generalized additive model in R with a smoothing function. And it basically represents the probability of these hitters taking a swing given where the pitch is. And there's a pretty stark difference between Kim Ha-sung and Na Sung-bum. Kim's swings are concentrated over the heart of the plate. and he just swings less overall. While Na Sung Bum is really swinging at anything just sort of over the plate, even if it's a couple inches off the ground. And he also walks a lot less, a little bit less than Kim did, and struck out 2.5 times as much. And I think one of the really important things to note about Na is that his swing rate of 61% would have been one of the highest in Major League Baseball history. It would have been right behind Hanser Alberto last season, who is, I think, 61.7. But something to keep in mind is that his contact numbers, while they are lower than Kim's, they are about the KBO average. And that will come into play when we're looking at our sort of projection for him. Okay, but why plate discipline? And that's a fairly intuitive answer. And just to make sure I was on the right path, I looked at how walk rate and strikeout rate correlated with weighted runs created plus for Major League Baseball in that same 2016 to 2020 stretch. And there's a medium relationship between walk rate and WRC plus, while strikeout rate doesn't really impact how good you are as a hitter. It is, I believe, notable that once you get to a certain threshold, about 30%, it becomes hard to be a really good hitter with a WRC plus above 125. But just again, something to keep in mind as we look at some of the final projected values that we end up reaching. All right, now I'm going to move on to some of the model building. And what I needed to figure out which swing level metrics I wanted to use to build my walk rate and strikeout rate models. And so again, that same MLB data from 2016 to 2020 built a correlation matrix. And what we see is that there are a couple of clusters of attributes that really correlate with walk rate and strikeout rate. And those are the metrics I used. Swing rate metrics, how often you swung, is strongly related to walk rate, while how often you made contact is strongly correlated with strikeout rate. Interestingly, all the contact, zone contact, and out-of-zone contact have a stronger relationship with K rate than swinging strike rate does, which is those metrics accounting for how often a hitter swung. That's just something I thought was a little bit interesting as I looked at this. And one of the assumptions that I had to make when working on this model was that swing decisions from the KBO to Major League Baseball and year over year were going to be stable. And this is a question that I'm going to address in a few minutes. But for my first pass, training a model on Major League Baseball data, I wanted to feed the KBO inputs into it and see what popped out. And to sort of test that assumption, I looked at year-over-year correlations for that, again, 2016 and 2020 MLB data. And each of these metrics was strongly correlated year-over-year. There wasn't a whole lot of variation. Zone contact was the lowest at 0.78. So I was satisfied with that assumption. And just remembered, as I'm talking about assumptions, and the amount of data that I collected for Kim and Na on this sort of swing contact level basis, for Kim Ha-sung, I had about 510 pitches charted, and for Na, I had about 360 pitches. And so for each of them, that comes out to about 125 and 100 plate appearances, which are well above where we feel comfortable with those metrics stabilizing and being a good representation of who that hitter is. All right, and so now onto the walk rate model. And what we have here is what I ended up doing was a stepwise backwards linear regression model. And I opted to go that route just to make sure that out of zone swing rate, and swing rate all ended up being significant, and they all were really low P values, which is nice. And I think it's notable that swing rate is your overall swing rate exerts the biggest influence on what your predicted walk rate ends up being. And when we trained this model on MLB data, we got R squared of 0.75, which is a very strong result. For strikeout rate, same thing, stepwise backwards linear regression model. And in this instance, how often you made contact in the zone proved to be the most important. This last sort of variable, contact percentage times swing percentage, was in there because I did want to have sort of an accounting for how often you swung. And it's not the exact same thing as swinging strike rate, but it's basically if you added contact percentage times swing percentage to swinging strike rate, you would get one. It's the complement of that. And the strikeout rate model was also quite successful with an R squared of 0.81. And so I was very satisfied with those first passes for that first attempt. And so running the KBO numbers that I had through that model returned these results. This is a pared down list of the 64 qualified hitters from Fangraphs who qualified in terms of plate appearances. And it's essentially Kim Ha-sung, who had a predicted 11.4 walk rate and 14.5 strikeout rate, while Na was predicted for a 3.6% walk rate and 21% strikeout rate. And I would like to address the fact that Na's strikeout rate dropped when we ran this prediction. While almost every other hitter did not, almost every other hitter did not. And that was what I was trying to get at when I pointed out earlier that Na's contact metrics are solid. They work. But as we see with his walk rate falling, he just swings so much that it becomes prohibitive at some point. And as a first pass, I was really happy with these results, even though I do think they are a tad optimistic, especially up at the top here for some of these guys. I don't think Lee Yong-Koo, who's an older lefty slap hitting guy, kind of what we would usually think of as the prototypical KBO hitter, I don't think he would have a walk to strikeout ratio of 2. So how can we address the question of the change in competition? And to do that, I wanted to see how players who had gone from Major League Baseball to the KBO changed between the two leagues in terms of their swing and contact metrics that I used in my model. And then once we had that sort of idea of how they change, I wanted to apply that change to Kim and Na based off of who similar MLB to KBO hitters were and how similar they were to Kim and Na. And to figure out which hitters were similar, I ended up using a K-means clustering algorithm to split that, again, 64 qualified hitters into five clusters. And what you're looking at now is basically a representation of what those clusters looked like based off of the inputs, which were walk to strikeout ratio and then a bunch of the swing and contact metrics I used. And so like this first cluster, really low walk to strikeout ratio, really high swing rate. And again, this is in the KBO, these stats are. Well, cluster 2 is high contact and ratio, lower swing rates. And Kim Ha-sung fits in that second cluster. And honestly, this is the best cluster to be in. It had an average WRC plus of 133. And it's high contact, low swing guys. And I didn't obviously include WRC plus as a clustering variable, because then we got good hitters and bad hitters, and that doesn't really help us. But what we're looking at is that all the highlighted hitters are former major league players. And then for Na, he's in a much smaller group with just three other KBO hitters. And even Park Chan-do is a little dicey in this group because he had the fewest pitches of anybody I had charted, which was about 40. But I left him in there because he qualified by plate appearances. And what we're looking at here is high swing rate, low strike, high swing rate with fairly high miss rates. And it is notable that there are no former MLB players in there, which is going to make our adjustment a little bit more difficult when we get there. Okay, but I keep mentioning those former MLB to KBO players and how they changed. And so what this is taking all those players who notably played in Major League Baseball in either 2018 or 2019. You'll notice that some of you may notice that Kim Hyun-soo, who played for the Phillies and Orioles, is not on this table because he last played in 2017. And I felt that reaching back to 2017 to compare his change to 2020 swing metrics was a little too far to be comfortable with. So I cut it off at 2018 and 2019 MLB seasons. And this is what their metric was in Major League Baseball divided by their KBO metric. And if it's above one, that means it occurred more in Major League Baseball. And so we see more swings in Major League Baseball. While with the contact metrics, they're frequently below one, which means that they were making more contact in the KBO. And so to apply this adjustment to Kim and Na, I showed those clusters a minute ago. And for Kim, we had Dixon Machado, Preston Tucker, and Jose Miguel Fernandez. And so to adjust Kim's swing and contact metrics, I multiplied his metrics by the average of these three players' multiplier. Well, for Na, since he didn't have any common former MLB guys, I ended up just using this overall average rather than try to cherry pick somebody and apply an adjustment that way. So I reran the models and we got these results, and we see decreases in walk rate and the resulting ratio, as well as an increase in strikeout rate, which makes sense when we're making them swing more and make contact less with that adjustment, which, as we discussed in the model building, that's going to hurt your walk rate and strikeout rate. But so now that I had that, I was curious to see how Kim's projection compared to a lot of the other publicly available projection systems like Zips, Depth Charts, BatX, and so on. And I pulled these values for them from Fangraphs again. Couldn't have done this without Fangraphs and all the data they have available. And what we see is that my unadjusted projection is the most optimistic. I tend to ignore that one because it didn't have the adjustment for the change between the two leagues. And I think it's notable that my adjusted prediction is the highest, has the highest predicted walk rate, and it has the highest predicted strikeout rate, and subsequently one of the lower ratios. And what I did differently with Kim's projection than Zips, Depth Charts, et cetera, is using that swing level data, because none of these systems use it for the KBO, while they may for MLB. And I did have a chance to confirm that with Derek Cardi, who created the BatX. And essentially what he does for Kim is take his KBO, walk rate and strikeout rate, and apply a competition level adjustment, which is when it's what we have, it's not a bad strategy. But as we discussed earlier, there are some decent changes between the two leagues. And that brings me to some of the limitations of this project. I was not using year over year swing data for the KBO. And this is also a biased sample of former MLB to KBO hitters. Something had to go wrong for a player to go from Major League Baseball to the KBO because they weren't finding playing time or the contract or whatever that they were looking for in Major League Baseball. And so using them is a little bit of a biased sample. But as I was working on this project, a common theme, and it was really making do with what was available. And that's what I tried to do. And so with that, I'm gonna go ahead, and this is where you can find me. I do need to make sure that the data and the code is available. And that's where you can find me. The KBO Wizard is where I am hosting all of 2020's data that I talk about those 30,000 pitches. So if you want to check that out, that's the link. And let's move on to questions. Okay, Nate has a good question. Can you apply this model to college hitters? It's the same sort of principle. It's just that with college hitters and the proliferation of TrackMan units, that we have more granular data available. And it just requires, again, there's a different playing environment to account for. Marco asks, how did I calculate the coefficients for the models? And that's just, so I used R for the entirety of my analysis. And so just doing that, that's the values that it spits out. And there are a couple questions in here about testing for multicollinearity. And I did do that, and that should be in the paper. I didn't talk about it today just to account for time differences, but with it being a regression, I wasn't super concerned about it. And also, that reminds me, I should shout out my professor, Dr. Mills at UT, who looked over this paper and provided some really good guidance on like the modeling and my approach and everything. So can't forget that. Drew asks about Na. How much do you think the leg injury he sustained impacted him? And I think it impacted him a lot. Frankly, I wasn't into the KBO when it happened, but watching him this year, the power was there. The hitting was there. I did have concerns about his strikeout rate, as I think, was sort of illustrated throughout this process. But, and the defensive liabilities hurt him as well. For those not familiar, the NC Dinos primarily played him at right field or at DH, and he was not a very good fielder. His route running in particular was something I noticed. He does have an incredible arm, former pitcher who touched 92 even a couple of years ago in like a short stint on the mound, but it was a matter of getting to batted balls. A question from Sungmin Kim. If you had access to complete TrackMan data from the 2020 KBO season, how would you have approached the study differently, and what else would you have been able to add? Yeah, that's a good question. And what I would really like, at the risk of getting too greedy, is some of that year-over-year data. But if I had full TrackMan data, it would have allowed for looking at their performance versus major league caliber pitches in particular. And that's, again, making do with what we've got and not having those resources entirely available. And there's frankly a small number of major league caliber pitchers in the KBO. We did see Chris Flexen come over this offseason. We did see Yang Hyun Jong come over this offseason, as well as a couple others like Aaron Brooks, Dan Straley, who I think are very good pitchers who could make that transition again. And I do know one of the concerns is velocity. And there are a couple of pitchers in the KBO, relief pitchers, Anwoo Jin and Cho Sang-woo, who throw upper to mid 90s on their fastball. The only problem with that is that they play on the same team Kim Ha-sung did. So we didn't have any data from him facing them, which would have been really interesting to see. But yeah, that's a good question. And were you concerned with the sample size of players available during the applying adjustments analysis? Yes, Josh, I was. And again, like I was making do with what I had. And actually, I'm going to navigate back to it because it's really interesting. We went too far. If you look at Brandon Barnes here, he is basically the opposite of everybody else. So he made more contact in Major League Baseball. He made, and he swung, where's his swing rate? Okay, yeah, he made more contact in Major League Baseball than he did in the KBO. And that was reflected in like his season-long results. And so he was just kind of, he didn't translate the way we would necessarily expect. And like, I think his values skewed the averages a little bit. And that's just one of the problems with, there's not a whole lot of player movement between the two leagues, which makes sense because KBO teams are limited to 3 foreign player spots. And most choose to fill that with 2 pitchers and 1 hitter. So yes, sample size, definitely a question, definitely a concern. But I was fairly satisfied with how it turned out. Connor asks, why did I choose R? I do all my work in R right now because of the book, Analyzing Baseball Data with R. That is how I first learned to code. The KBO Wizard is all done in R Shiny. And like, I chose R for this because that's what I'm comfortable with and know how to do stuff. Mark asks, can you draw a conclusion of which league has hitters protecting the plate more on 2 strikes? Yeah, that's not something I specifically looked at in this presentation, but with the higher ground ball rates, the higher walk rate, and notably the lower whiff and strikeout percentages, I think it's clear that KBO hitters protect the plate. They're focused on putting the ball in play, and that's, yeah. Could a similar model be used to see how pitchers would transition? Yes. That question's from Will Skelbin. That's a good question. And I thought about it, and I just didn't have the time or space to work on that in the course of this project. But I also think it's easier in this day and age where we have TrackMan and Rapsodo. Last season, I believe 9 out of 10 KBO teams had TrackMan. And this year they should all have it. It's easier to evaluate pitchers by looking at the data and sort of the sum of their parts. Like I know for Chris Flexen, one of the things the Mariners liked about him was that they could see that how he was throwing his curveball had changed in the KBO from the way he was throwing it in when he was with the Mets. And that was something they saw with the TrackMan data because they couldn't see him in person due to the COVID travel restrictions. How did I decide on what algorithm to use from Austin Moore? The linear regression is a fairly simple one. And I just sort of picked it because it was a simpler one and that's what I was comfortable with at the time. Since then I've done a little bit more. I may have used like a linear mixed model and with a random effects intercept to account for the difference in player to player. Question from Noah Wright. Were there any major outliers? Well, that depends. Brandon Barnes was a big one. And let's see, can we head back to the... Brandon Barnes was the biggest one that really surprised me. There are a couple of guys. The two Lees up here had really high predicted rates. They were the two highest, which is why they're included there. So that stood out to me for sure. And they also saw increases from league to league. Someone like Mel Ross Jr.'s predicted ratio didn't fall like I thought it might. So that was interesting. And he's in Japan this year. And so that was interesting. And all right, so we got two. I'm gonna go ahead and end it there. So thank you again to Scott and Saber for having me, and hope you all have a wonderful evening.